First of all, Rabbi Sashkach, everyone taking the cleanup on time. When Yosef and his brothers are reunited, so the Pasuk says that Yosef gave to his brothers a kulam, nosan, chalifos, malois. He gave them changes of clothing. But to Binyamin, he gave chamesh, chalifos, malois. He gave five changes of clothing. And the Gemara in Masechtas Megillah asks, how could Yosef have made this same mistake, which itself led to his own downfall? Yosef only sold to Mitzrayim, the Gemara says, because Yaakov showed favoritism. Vayehav Yaakov as Yosef mikol banav ki ben zekunim hulai v'asaloi ksoinas pasim. He made a ksoinas pasim only for Yosef, arousing the jealousy of the other brothers. How could Yosef here then have, and that's what led to Mechiras Yosef, and ultimately descended to Mitzrayim. How could Yosef here have made a similar mistake by the same mistake by making giving all the other brothers one change of clothing, and to Binyamin he gave five, chamesh chalifos malos. That disparity is going to lead to jealousy. So the Gra actually has a creative explanation that the word chalifos, when it's, Pasuk says it with regards to the brothers, a change of clothing is written malei vav. That was an expensive change of clothing. It was an expensive garment, a name brand, a designer. But when the word is said by Binyamin, it's chamesh chalifos malos. Chalifos is written without a vav. Binyamin, he gave five cheap sets of clothing. So, but actually, it was all equitable. Everyone got the same value. They got one set, and he got five, but they were of a cheaper kind. However, the Gemara, Masechtas Megillah, provides its own answer. And the Gemara says, because Yosef wanted to be merames to Binyamin, he would ultimately need these five sets of clothing, because one of his descendants would be Mordechai, who would wear five sets of clothing, as the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther. He wore tcheles and chur, aterezov, gedola, tachris, butz, viar, gomon. So to allude to Binyamin that his descendant, Mordechai, would wear five sets of clothing, he gave him chamesh chalifos malos. But how does that answer the question? How could Yosef have given Binyamin five sets of clothing? Yes, we understand the allusion to his descendant, Mordechai would wear five sets of clothing. But what was his message to Binyamin, and how was he justified in doing so? We really need to ask, how did Yaakov Avinu himself make the same mistake? Anybody who's raised children knows, if you give one child, well, you don't have to be an experienced father even to recognize, you give one child one thing more than the others, it's going to arouse jealousy amongst the children. Why did Yaakov Avinu do this? And the Chasam Sofer explains, based on a diuk in the Gemara, that the Gemara says, Lo'olam al yishana odam b'noi bein habanim. You shouldn't single out one of your children from amongst the children and show favoritism. However, the Chasam Sofer says that's only if it's bein habanim. They're all similar. They're all the same. Children who all have similar needs, and you give one more than the others, it's going to arouse jealousy. But if it's not benoy ben abonim, it's a child stands out. He has his own needs. He's special challenges or circumstances that only he's encountering. Then a father says that sometimes has a responsibility to treat that child differently, even knowing that it might arouse the jealousy of the other children. That's the responsibility of a parent, to disregard that and to cater to the needs, to see to the needs and the whatever the special circumstances perhaps one of the children might be facing. That's relevant to an entire host of circumstances. However, because a father has a responsibility to address the specific needs of every child, Yaakov was justified in giving Yosef a ksoinas pasim, and that was the same reason that Yosef gave to Binyamin chamesh chalifos malos. Why were they justified in doing this? What was the special need that both Yosef and Binyamin shared? So the Tolna Rebbe explains in the Sefer Heimei Yirachamuni that is because Yosef stood out. He had a different derech in Avodas Hashem than the other brothers. All the other brothers thought that they had the status of Yisraelim and they conducted themselves accordingly. Yosef disagreed. He felt they had the status of Bnei Noach. That was the machlokes between the brothers and Yosef and the Shvatim. So he had a different derech of Avodas Hashem. And says the Tolna Rebbe, therefore Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef aksinas pasim. The Radak says it was a colorful garment. Why did he give him a rainbow garment, a colorful garment? What was the message? So the Talmud Rebbe explains, he was teaching Yosef, you hold to your derech of Avodas Hashem. Not every derech in Avodas Hashem has to look the same. There's many colors in the spectrum of Avodas Hashem, and they're all valid, and they're all legitimate. There are some that are off the spectrum, that's true, but there is a wide spectrum of how one can serve the Ribbono Shel Olam legitimately, and you are within that spectrum. And therefore, he gave him a ksoinas pasim that was full of many colors that don't become disheartened just because the rest of them disagree with you. Your derech of Avodas Hashem is equally valid and legitimate as theirs. And for that reason as well, Yosef gave to Binyamin Chamesh Chalifos Smalois. Why? Because his descendant Mordechai would be different than the rest of Klal Yisrael in his time. The pasuk concludes in the Megillas Esther, V'rotzoi L'roiv Echov. Mordechai was liked, a very unusual way to conclude its praise of Mordechai, but he was liked by most. Not L'chol Echov, R'otzoi L'roiv Echov. It's reminiscent of the comment by Aaron HaKohen that Vayivku also Kol Beis Yisrael, when he died, everyone cried. Rashi infers when Moshe Rabbeinu died, not everybody cried. So that's a good leader. If some people are crying and others aren't, okay, you know he's a good leader. So V'ratzei L'roiv Echov. Most people liked him. And the Gemara explains himself as Megillah, there were for those who felt he shouldn't have been involved in politics. And because of that, they lowered him a few rungs in the Sanhedrin. He was on one rung, and then he was lowered in his status in the Sanhedrin because they felt he shouldn't have been involved in politics. And Yosef gave, therefore, Binyamin, Chamesh Chalifos Smalois, five sets of clothing, to teach Binyamin that his grandchild Mordechai also, even though his Derech HaVavodas Hashem was slightly different than the rest of the establishment at the time, at the same time, he shouldn't feel that it's not legitimate, that it's not valid, he's not serving the Ribbono Shel Olam in a critical way. He is, and there's many different garments that a person wears, as we would say in our time, many different hats that a person wears, and each one is necessary in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam properly. And perhaps that's what Yosef meant when he bids farewell to his brothers, the pasuk says, he told them, Al tirgazu baderech, don't fight along the way. So the Mashutzer Rebbe writes in his Sefer Divrei Yisrael, Al tirgazu baderech, don't fight about the derech, about the way you serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because there's many ways of serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. And not everybody's is going to look the same. There's many different colors on the spectrum. Chamesh chalifos malos, five different types of garments. And it's this lack of understanding that led to Mechiras Yosef, and that ultimately led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When Yosef and Binyamin are united, the pasuk says, Vayipo al tzavari Binyamin ochi vayev ku Binyamin boch al tzavarov. Yosef fell on his neck and he cried. Binyamin fell on the neck of Yosef and he cried. Rashi explains, what were they crying about? Yosef was crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash that would take place in the Chelyok, the Shevet of Binyamin, and his portion in Eretz Yisrael, and Binyamin was crying over the Churban Mishkan Shiloh, which would take place in the Chelek of Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. Parenthetically, how did Chazal know they were crying over Churban Beis HaMikdash? Maybe they were crying tears of joy over being reunited. So the Mefarshim explain that it's because the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, describes the Beis HaMikdash as Kimigdal David Savarech, that like the Tower of David is like your neck, referring to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is described as a neck, so the Shem Yishmuel explains why, because the neck connects the head to the body, the spiritual part of the guf with the physical part of the guf. And so too the Beis HaMikdash connects the spiritual world, serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, with the physical world. It's in this world, it's part of this world, but it brings us to portal, a window, into the spiritual world. And that's from the fact that they were crying on each other's necks, says the Shem Yishmuel. That's how Chazal knew. The neck represents the Beis HaMikdash, the portal between the physical world and the spiritual world, and therefore they knew that they were crying about the Beis HaMikdash. That's why Rabbeinu Bachya writes in Parshas Chukas, Yushalayim is in the plural, like Einayim and Oznayim, with two eyes, two ears, so too Yerushalayim is in the plural. Because there's two Yerushalayims. There's the Yerushalayim, the physical Yerushalayim, and there's a spiritual Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents a portal, a window from the physical world to the spiritual world. That's why there's two. It really has a foot in two different worlds, and it brings the two worlds together. That's why the pasuk in Tehillim describes Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra layachdav. When Yerushalayim is built, there's a Beis HaMikdash there, so then it's connected within itself. How is it connected within itself? It's the portal between the physical world and the spiritual world. There's another city that also represents a portal between the physical world and the spiritual world. The pasuk says in Parashas Vayera, that when Avram Avinu was tending to his guests, El Habaka Ratz Avram, that Avram Avinu chased after one animal that he was going to shecht for the three malachim, came to visit him, he had to chase after it. Why do you have to chase after it? Because it ran away. Where did it run to? So the Medrash says it ran into Maris HaMachpelah. And Avram Avinu ran after it. And when he went after it, he went into Maris HaMachpelah, and that's when he saw that Adam and Chava were buried there. And he knew that that was a good place to be buried. And he saw a window, that's the Medrash, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, he saw a window into Gan Eden. Again, a portal between the physical world and the spiritual world. That's why the Shem Yishmu again explains, that's why Chevron, the name, the place where Mar Samach Pei was found, is referred to as Chevron. Chevron, again, Milashon, Chibur, a connection. Just like Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav, like Yerushalayim. It represents a connection between the physical world and the spiritual world. That's perhaps why it's Maras HaMachpela. It's a double cave. The Gemara says in Mesechtas Erevin, either a cave on top of a cave within the cave. However, perhaps it's a double cave because it has its roots in both worlds, in the physical world and in the spiritual world. Why do we need two? Why do we need Yerushalayim, which is Belashon Rabim, Einayim, and Oznayim, Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtav, and we need Chevron, which is also Milashon Chibur, a connection between this world and the next world. Why do we need both, the spiritual world and the physical world? So Rav Moshe Wolfson explains in his Sefer Emunah Sitecha something which is unbelievable, astounding, remarkable. And that is because he explains Yerushalayim is built on a hill. So that's when we connect with the Ribbono Shel at the time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when we're properly keeping the Torah and the mitzvahs, and we're in Eretz Yisrael, Bibinyonon. And then Chevron is a cave. It's buried, buried deep within the ground. So that, he says, is for a time, at a time of, we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam at a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, when we're in Golus. That's how do we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the spiritual world, not for Yerushalayim. There's no Beis HaMikdash there. Where do we connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam at the time of Golus? We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through deep in the ground, through the cave of Maris HaMachpelah, which is found in the city of Chevron, Miloshon Chibur, but also Miloshon Churban. At a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Chevron. That's why Yehoshua and Parsha Shlach, at the time of Chet HaMeragim, goes to Davin, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not at the Har HaBayis, like Yaakov Avinu, like Avram, like Yitzchak. Where does he go to Davin, to the Ribbono Shel Olam? He stops at Kivrei Avosav, he stops at Maris HaMachpelah, because he knew the Chet HaMeragim would ultimately lead to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So since it was a time already foreshadowing to a time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, he went to Davin, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, where? He went to Davin to Ribbono Shel Olam at Maris HaMachpelah. That's where we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the time of Churban. So Yosef and Binyamin were crying on each other's necks at the culmination of this painful episode of Mechiras Yosef. Why were they crying now about Churban Beis HaMikdash? Because what would lead to Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma, is sinas chinam, a lack of understanding, of caring for others, of delegitimizing others, derech and avodas Hashem. Baseless hatred. And therefore, at the culmination of this Mechiras Yosef, an episode of Sinas Chinam, they were crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That would, is what would lead ultimately to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But each one cried on the other one's neck. Because what will lead to the Beis HaMikdash's return, to the return of the Beis HaMikdash, is when each one cries about the loss of somebody else. When we care for each other, when we legitimize others and validate others, and we cry for others, ultimately that is what will lead to the return of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Medrash tells us in Megillas Eicha, we discuss it on Tisha B'Av often, that at the time that Churban Beis HaMikdash, so Yirmiyahu and Navi came to awaken all of the others to daven that Kadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Avram Avinu davened, it didn't help. Yitzchak davened, Yaakov davened, all of them davened, and it didn't help. Until Rachel davened, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relented, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that he will once again build the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash will be returned in the Zechus of Rachel Imenu. What Zechus did she have that all of the other ones didn't have? Is that she was Meiser Nefesh for others. Rachel Mevaka Banel, she cried for others. She helped out Leah, and she gave the Simanim to Leah, and that Zechus that she cared for others, she legitimized others. That's why the Beis HaMikdash will be returned. And who is buried in between Chevron, where we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam at a time of Golos, and Yerushalayim, where we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the time the Beis HaMikdash is built? Who's buried in between? B'derech Afras, he Beis Lachem, as Zuk Furas Rachel Ad Hayom. She's buried there until today, because it will be in her Zechus that we'll be able to march back from Chevron to Yerushalayim at the time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, when we cry for others, legitimize others, and validate others, people's derech and avodas Hashem. This Thursday is, we just concluded Hanukkah, we're still a little bit on a high, but this Thursday already is Asar B'Tevis, which is the time that the siege began for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Avud Raham writes something very unique about Asar B'Tevis. Happens that Asar, it can fall out on a Friday, but Asar B'Tevis, even if it falls out on Shabbos, So Avudraham writes, he's supposed to fast on Shabbos, because the Pesach can say for Yechezkel describes the Sarah B'teves, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, there's only one other day that's described, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, is Yom HaKippurim. Just like if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we fast. If Sarah B'teves also falls out on Shabbos, you fast. Both say Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. But it's funny, because if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we don't fast on Tisha B'Av on Shabbos. We push it off. It's a Nidche. We push it off to Sunday. How could it be that Sarah B'teves, which is the beginning of the siege, is more chamor than it's Deicha Shabbos than Tisha B'Av? If it falls out on Shabbos, we don't fast. How could it be? So the Sam Sefer explains that it's because there's two types of fasts. You could have a fast of a person who has a tainus chaloim, a scary dream. Such a person fasts even on Shabbos because he's a b'sakana. He doesn't want something dangerous to happen to him, so he fasts on Shabbos. A tainus chaloim, you fast on Shabbos. But then there's a tainus of like avelus, of a yard site. Some people fast on a yard site. Chassid didn't make a party on a yard site because the neshama is going up. But in Litvish circles, they fast on a yard site. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So they fast on a yard site. But you don't fast on a yard site if it falls out on Shabbos. That's a tainus of avelus, you don't fast. So the Chassam Sefer says, because this is not about the future, I'm scared, this is about the past. About the past, you don't fast on Shabbos. If it's about the future, because I'm scared, Tainus Chaloim, then you fast on Shabbos. So it says the Sam Sefer on Tisha B'Av, the Korban Beis Hamikdash already happened. We can't stop it. So there's no point. It's Avelus about the past. We're crying over things that happened already. So you don't fast on Shabbos like a yard sign. But on Sarah B'Teves, that's when the siege began. But it wasn't written in stone yet that this was going to happen. This was afraid of what could happen, future events. So when you're afraid about what could happen, so then we fast even on Shabbos. So too this year, we're at Sarah B'Teves again. But the Chorban Beis HaMikdash for this year is not yet written in stone. We have the opportunity, perhaps, to prevent it. Any generation that is not built in our times, as if it's destroyed in our times. So at least on this Asar B'Tevis, we should have a Hisairus to do what we can to overcome Sinas Chinam, to cry for others, to care for others, legitimate other Jerachim and Avodas Hashem. And Amir Tz Hashem, if we do that, may the Rebbeinu Shalom bring the Beis HaMikdash back. And Amen.